more. The word of the Lord says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Notice this. He that loveth not knoweth not God. I like this part. Let's read that together. For God is love. Let's do that with a loud voice. For God is love. That was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live. Somebody say live. Through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Somebody say he loves me. And sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I want to talk to you this morning on this thought. It's true. It's true. We know that God is true. His word is infallible. And heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will remain, stands forever. And I want to talk just for a little while, quite simply, it's true. Would you lift your voices to the Lord? I know you got your Bibles in your hand, but you just in this sweet presence of God, the sweet presence of the Lord, just lift your voices. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, there ought to be 100 voices lifted. Father in heaven, we come before you. We pray that you would help us to be doers and hearers of your word, God. To draw nigh to you, to draw close to you this morning. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. We live in a wild world. Somebody said it's a mad, mad, mad world. Where folks are apprehensive about love. There's songs about Can't Buy Me Love. I think there was a movie on the radio that was about Can't Buy Me Love. We hear people overuse that word over and over, but not demonstrate that word in their actions, right? And folks are, they're fickle. They change frequently, especially in regards to their loyalties or interests or affections. Now, I know there's nobody here like that, but you may know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that, could be this way. That they say they love you, but it's all talk. Their words don't line up with their actions or behaviors. Right? Anybody hear somebody like that? You may be in a book or something. And the Apostle John declares in 1 John 3:18, he says, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. The New Living Translation says, let us show the truth of our love by our actions. And that's convicting when you really stop to think about it, to say the least, that that sometimes we say we love somebody or something, but really the only thing that we're doing is just saying that we love this or that, but our lifestyles, our behaviors, our actions don't line up with what our words are saying. And there's even some people that will live their entire lives in a false reality that they can never be good enough for God to love them or forgive them. Can I tell you this morning, my title is It's True, that you can never sin that much or so much that God cannot love you or forgive you. Amen. Well, I ought to get 100 amens or yes me's, yes, or a hand clap right there. Our love for the Lord and his love for us ought not be regulated on how good we can be in order for God to love us. Our love, or the love that God has for us, is not regulated on what we can do for him. But the love that he has for us is so beautiful that he loves us anyways. He can only be what he is. He doesn't change. The immutable God of heaven doesn't change. He cannot not be what he is. He's love. And so he cannot not love, because God is love. The scripture says that he is love. And his love for us is so great that he has enough love for all the 8 billion people in the world presently, and all the millions and billions of people past and those to come. He's got that much love, but yet his love is so particular and so personal that he can love us individually as if we're the only child in the entire world. He is so amazing with his love, and his love for us is a love that cannot be explained or defined. In fact, the Bible tells us that we love him in 1 John 4:19 because he first loved us. Someone tell your neighbor it's true. God loves me, and he does. He loves you. In fact, he loves you so much that he died on the cross for our sins and the sins that of your past and the sins of the fathers and the sins of your sons and the those that are to come in the future. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. It's true. It's the Bible. It's true. Romans 5:8 says that God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, what a love divine. When we were still in sin and still intentionally sinning and not wanting to submit to the Lord, he loved you anyways, and he still loves you. Even when you say you want to submit and you don't submit, he still loves you. Sometimes we don't know what it's like to be submitted until somebody tells you to do something you don't want to do. You know, they ask you to do something, you tell them, well, yeah, whatever you want, and they tell you to do something, you're like, oh, well, not like that. It's not what I meant. You know? It's out of my comfort zone, you know. I get stage fright. Well, the Lord will pull it out of you. Not in my comfort zone. His love is so amazing. Amen. That he loved us first.
Yeah.
When we were in our mother's womb, He had plans for us. It's true. Tell your neighbor it's true. And so much love that even when we won't submit, even when we weren't living for the Lord, he robed himself in flesh because he loved us. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2 tells us that.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, and we are complete in him.
Yeah.
It had to have been love to go to the cross of Calvary to do what he did.
Yeah.
For people that would say the things that they say and act the way that they act, and for him to still love them. That's true. When we're not serving him the way we should, he still loves us. When we're running from him, he still loves us.
Yeah.
And his blood, let it, his love and his blood, for it reaches from the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest, and it has never and it will never lose its power. That's because of love, for God so loved the world that he gave, and he's still given, and he's been given, and he will continue to give. He'll continue to give salvation and forgiveness and love and mercy and healing and peace. Why? Because that's who he is. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's a caring God. He's a divine God. He's an eternal God. He's a forgiving God. He's a great God. He is the I am that I am, a just God, a knowing God. He's my God. He's a now God, the omnipotent, omnipresent God, the righteous one, the Savior, the I am that I am. He is the God of heaven and earth, and he loves you, and he loves me, and it's true. His love has been chasing some of you. Even when you didn't want him to chase you, his love. Amen. Chasing after you. God's not mad at you. In fact, he's mad about you. Fighting every devil in hell and answering every prayer request that goes up because of you. Because you are the apple of his eye. He loves you. He's not looking down from heaven ready to catch you doing something wrong. No, he's looking down to bless you. He's looking down to strengthen you. He's looking down to restore you, revive you, replenish you, take care of you, to anoint you. Every trial and tribulation isn't meant to destroy you. It's to purify you. It's to help you. It's to equip you. Why? Because he loves you. His love is real. It's not conditional like human love. His love isn't like some people's love that if you do something for me, then I'll do something for you, and I'll love you because you do this for me. But the moment you stop doing something, too bad, so sad, your dad. Or you're bad, one or the other. But God loves you. It's true. He does. It's not a love of convenience. Right? It's not a what have you done for me lately kind of love. It's real love.
Yeah.
I know what some of you are thinking. I'm thinking about a... Right? Yeah, gotcha. You may find it hard to believe or accept, but God loves you. Galatians 2:20 tells us, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me. And gave himself for me. It's true. He loves you. His Bible for it. It says he loves you.
Amen.
But I had a question for you this morning. Do you love him?
Exactly.
Yes.
I mean, seriously. Seriously. How do you know if somebody loves you? How does he know that you love him?
Yeah.
It's true. He loves us, but it's also true that our words have got to match our actions and our lifestyles and our behaviors. Oh, come on, somebody.
Amen.
How do you know if somebody loves you? Right? We make statements. Oh, you better prove it. Right? And some people forgot last week on Tuesday. They forgot. Right? They're running around town trying to, you know, get something that's worth $50. They're paying $250 because they forgot it was Valentine's Day. Mark up, everything got marked up because he said he loved me and he got one day on the calendar to prove it. You forgot. Do our words match our actions? Do our behaviors, our lifestyles, holiness, do we, if we love, we do what we do because we're in love with Jesus. It's true. There's books, Sister Mo, that talk about love. The love language. They even got it down, narrowed down to five. They're trying to copy the fivefold ministry, right? Five love languages, behaviors. But if somebody says they love you, but they're not available for you, is that love? You try to get it, you know, there's no response. It's a one-way road. Their actions don't match up to their words. It's true. But you know what's true? God doesn't lie. And every day, he's been proving and showing his love to us. Every breath that we take. Every time we lift our hands, we are demonstrating a love to a heavenly Father that even when we can't, he will. It's true. He loves us. He loves us. Don't let anybody tell you that you've messed up too much that
exactly.
God can't love you. Don't let anybody tell you that you're you're just too far gone. they're far off. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's love, baby. Far off. But he's calling and he's reaching. I love you. I love you. The devil will lie and say God doesn't love you. Your past will paint a picture that you're so unlovable. But the gift of God, which is salvation. The joy of the Holy Ghost and the renewing of the Holy is a reminder that he loves us, that he's with us. You know, there will be people, Sister Galindo, will try to separate you from the love of God. But Paul tells us in Romans 8 and 35 through 39, who shall separate us from the love of God? Tribulation or distress or persecution or famine. But it is written that for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Oh, saints of God, there isn't a who that can separate you from the love of God unless you let that person separate you from the love of God. There isn't things. There isn't no death, nor life, or circumstance, or angels, or powers, or things past, present, or future that will separate you from God's love. Why? Because God is not a man that he should lie. But the Bible says nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is true, friends, this morning. Jesus loves you. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Somebody say, he loves me. It's true, it's true. He loves you. But do we reciprocate our love for him? Are we demonstrating our love for him on a daily basis? Or do we have a weekend? Or do we have a Sunday love for him? Oh, it's just a weekend thing. But Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with some of thy heart, all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. Do we love him? Do we love him? Do we make excuses? Do we take spiritual shortcuts and expect eternal results and blessings from God? There wasn't a shortcut on the cross. It was all of him for all of us. It's for love. It was all for God's soul. I mean, he did it for love. He loves you today, saints of God. He loves us even though we're all different. I know some of you have been wanting to say this, so I'm going to let you say it in church. It'll be all right. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you're different. See, there you go. There you go. I know if you want to tell your uncle that your whole life. You're different. You're different. I know. But he loves us. The people we don't like, there's something about them that he loves. Oh, yeah. Think about that. They may not fit your reality of success, but he loves them. Oh, yeah, I didn't get too many amens right there, but he loves them. They may not make your social status or your Instagram likes and give you more attention, but can I tell you, he loves them. So like it or not, we got to find a reason to love them, because if we say, If we say he loves us and we love him, do our words and do the words that are coming out of our mouth and the behaviors coming out of our lifestyle, does it match up or is there conflict? God is love, and we say we know God and we don't love our brother, we don't love our neighbor, we don't love our, come on somebody, if we're going to have anything in this church, we're going to have a church that loves people, that loves the world, that loves the lost. It's true, there's a revival and there's a harvest and we got to be unified, but we've got to have love. How this can man know that we are his disciples if we have love one for another? Not that we have good church and good programs and anointed preaching, but he said they're going to know you by your fruit, how you love one another, how you don't cuss one another out, how you don't mistreat anybody, because I love them. I love them. Why? Because there's something about them that God loves. They thought that they were worth saving. He thought there was something on that they could go. He could go to the cross for them because he loves them. He loves you this morning.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Somebody say it's true.
True.
The personality conflict people. He loves them.
Yeah.
It's true. Matthew 22 and 39 says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Yeah.
Tell the person next to you, I love you. I love you. Tell the next person next to you, you buy me a burrito after church? Some of you are not looking, you're like, oh. John 14 and 15 says, notice this, it's powerful. If you love me,
yeah,
keep my commandments.
Yeah.
It's powerful. Only if you love me, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep my commandments. And his commandments are not grievous, the Bible says. Sometimes you can feel as if nobody cares,
yeah,
right? And I know this is going to surprise some of you. I know. But the reality is that some people are just mean. They're ruthless. They're selfish.
Yeah.
They're lovers of themselves.
Amen.
And they don't care.
Right.
It's true. It's true. Somebody say it's true.
It's true.
And so this many times causes us to become reserved in our emotions. And we would call, well, I'm just protecting myself. And we have experiences that define our realities.
Yeah.
Right? We have trust issues. And these realities become our perceptions and part of how we respond and why we respond the way we do. We put up defense mechanisms. We even walk around second guessing what someone said or we hear what they didn't say, right? It's not what they said, it's what they didn't say. How they looked. See what, how they looked? They didn't see you. Dude has been wearing glasses and didn't have his glasses on and he didn't see you there. Well, I was there. Well, I didn't see you. It's true. I didn't see you. I saw an image, but I didn't know it was you. Somebody say it's true.
It's true.
But look, it is sad. It's awful that there are people in this world that are secretly eager to destroy you and see you fail.
Yeah.
And they find the fact that you're surviving and victorious and growing offensive. It's true. But that's not about you and them.
Exactly.
That's about you and him. It's true. Come on, somebody. You are of God, the Bible says. And hope have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the... It's true. It's true. Because he loves you. Can I tell you that even if people are against you, against your promotion, against your ministry, against your anointing, against your ideas, against your looks, against your growth, hey, haters are going to hate. The Bible says perilous times are going to be despisers of good. They're going to call good evil and evil good. We're here, it is. But can I tell you, God's not against you. He's actually for you, very much so. Why? Because he loves you. Oh, yeah. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. In fact, the Bible tells us in Psalm 56 and 9, this I know.
Yeah.
I know that I know that I know. They can leave that up there for like another 20 seconds. Some of you need to take a picture of this Bible verse on the screen or highlight in your Bible. This I know, for God is for me. God is for me. He's for you. He's for you. Yeah. He is for you. And whoever or whomever they are, just everybody go like this. They are. Just put them. All right. Put them in a box. Look at that box and say, God's for me. Well, they're not answering my call. Okay, well, God will answer your prayer. Things in which we make such a big deal over in our minds or emotion, the things, whatever the things are, grab those things, put them in another box. God's for me. This I know, God's for me. They may not be for me. These things may not be. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he's for me. He's for me. Because he loves me. The reason why he's for me is because he loves me. Yes, it's true. Some people aren't for you, but God isn't just for you. God loves you. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against me? Come on, somebody. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 8 and 4 that he's mindful of us. Yeah. How many of you remember to pray for Pastor this morning? Now I know, don't raise your hand. Right? Thank you, Sister Aguayo. Thank you. But God's for you. He don't forget about you. It says he's mindful of you. Right? I just use that as a great example, right? Just because most of you thought you knew I was going to be here, hopefully. Woke up this morning, Sister Pearl said, how do you feel? I said, well, Lord didn't take me. I'm here. But he's mindful of us. We walk around sometimes with things on our mind. Well, guess what? He's mindful of us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Why? Because he loves us. He wants you to check in with him.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, somebody. All the mamas and the papas, you worry about your kids, right? You want them to check in with you. Hey, he wants you to check in with him. It's true. It's true. Check in with him on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and twice on Sundays. Check in with him. You ever tell somebody, well, hey, call me. Okay, I'll call you. Oh, I forgot. Right?
Yes.
Because it wasn't important to them.
Exactly.
Do your words and your actions line up? Because he's always with you. He doesn't forget about you. Not only does he love you, he's with us. Psalmist says in Psalm 139, 7 through 10, it says, where can I go from thy spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Right? If I ascend up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. Even if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, thy right hand shall hold me up. Somebody say it's true. You know, sometimes we get held up by things. Right? You ever use that? Oh, I got held up. Sorry, I got held up. I, was late. You know, my car wasn't ready. I got held up. Got held up in traffic, right? I don't know why anybody want to go get held up in traffic. You know, stay on track, Pastor. Get held up in traffic on purpose, right? Pay $300 to go visit someplace for a couple hours, get on two rides, and get held up in traffic for 10 hours, you know? Get held up. You know, your probation officer held you up. Hopefully you're not on probation because you held something up. It's true. Don't looking around. Spirit of suspicion coming on some. You're like, hey. It's true. But check this out. Notice what the scripture says. His mercy will hold us up. Put that back up. His mercy will hold us up. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Even there thy hand, his hand, excuse me. Verse 10. Even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy hand shall hold me. His hand's going to hold us. His hand will hold us. His hand, hey, there's things that we don't understand that we're holding on to. We better make sure we're holding on to the hand of the Lord. Songwriter says, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise this morning. God's with you. What a blessing. What a reassurance that regardless of who is with you, the Lord is with you. Amen. Regardless of who is not with you, the King of Kings is with you. Amen. Now, I understand, and I'm trying to hurry in our postmodern mindset, that the King of Kings is just something we say in church. We don't have a real tangible revelation of what that means in real life form. But he is the King of Kings. Whatever supreme leader, ruler, dominating force is in the world in humanistic form, he is all that and then some. There's an exponential then some upon that. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. I know it's all Greek to you, but it's true. He is the beginning and he's the end and everything in between and then some. He's the Lamb for sinners slain. It's true. And the God of this world, the one that in Genesis 1 began to speak and things begin to take place, the one that died on the cross, the one that was resurrected, the one that filled us with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God inside of us, it's true. He loves you and he's with you and he calls you by name, the Bible tells us in Isaiah. It begins to tell us, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by name, thou are mine. You're mine. It's true. You may not be somebody to somebody else, but to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the Everlasting Father, you're his. So much so that Isaiah 49 and 16 says that he has graven thee upon the palms of his hands. Yeah. Some of us on our hands, we have scars, we have wounds, we have hopefully no cooties, and you have fingerprints that are identifiable to yourself. Amen. But the Bible says, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. He loves you. He's with you. And he'll never fail or forsake you.
Right.
He won't abandon you. It's true.
Yep.
You know it and I know it.
Yeah.
We're all evidence of that testimony here this morning. It's true. It's true. Some people will forsake us. But not the Lord.
Amen.
Not our Jesus. Think about this. The psalmist says, I've been young. All the young people say amen.
Amen.
Oh, that was no bueno. All the young people say amen.
Amen.
Oh, that was still, everybody under 100 say amen.
Amen.
Okay, all the young people say amen.
Amen.
There we are. I pastor a young church. Young church. David said, I've been young. Now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. Never. Never means never seeing the righteous forsaken. It's true. It's so true that God is so amazing that not only does he love us, he's with us, but he won't forsake us. He won't abandon us. You know, this world, it's about numbers. You know, how much you got. Sales were down. I didn't realize it was a 4-week holiday. Tenants is low. Bank accounts low. Gas is low. Gas is up. Eggs are up. Low, high and low. It's just, you know, what were the numbers like? How much can I get for? How much you want to pay? You know, just, it's about numbers. It's about numbers. How old is she? How old is he? How much has he got? You know? Some of you looking around, hey? Looking for Sam. You're like, single adult minister. You're looking, right? And so, but it's about numbers.
Yeah.
We are numbers driven. But the Lord's about numbers too. He is so amazing because he could take little and do much with it.
Yeah.
It's love. He's with us. He won't forsake us, you know. He didn't forsake the multitude. They were hungry and he took little lunch. Jesus began to bless it, begin to multiply. He didn't forsake those hungry people. He didn't forsake them. It was the lady that had a need, and he didn't. It was just a little strength, and she reached out to touch the hem of his garment. He didn't forsake her. It was just a. The Bible says, though your beginning be small, your latter shall be greater. The Bible says, despise not the day of small beginnings. Come on, somebody, it's true. God is into the number. It is about numbers. On the day of Pentecost, they were gathered together, right, and there were people filled with the Holy Ghost. But can I tell you? He's not just a God about big numbers, and he's not just a God about multiplication and addition, but he's down to the nitty-gritty of the individual prayer, the individual heartbeat, the individual mind, so much so because he loves us. He loves you. It's true. It's true. I need some help. Anybody want to be blessed? Brother Breon, you come help Pastor. Brother Carlos, come help Pastor real quick. God is so much into the numbers. So much into the numbers. See, they did this with me at night, or they saw at 9 o'clock, but they take a picture, they smile. There we go. All right. He's into the numbers.
Yeah.
You know, we don't look like we got, maybe we don't have a lot of ideas, resources, maybe a lot of needs. But you know, God is so into us, into the numbers, that he says, if there be two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Oh, powerful, powerful. That's why you got to have a prayer partner. Got to have a worship brother and sister. Got to be sitting by somebody and say, hey, just in case you want to know, I'm a worshiper. And this chair in a row is reserved for worship because God, he seeketh a worshiper. So we're going to be a worshiping chair, pew. That's who we are because there's two or three gathered together. So it's just, it is what it is. He's in the midst, saints of God. He is so into us. He loves us so much that even when there's two or three gathered together in his name, he says, I'm in the midst of them. It's a, he's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He's the fairest of 10,000s to our soul. It's true. He is into the details of our life. Every heartbeat, every prayer, every song that we sing, every beat of the drum. But more than that, every time we lift our hands, every time we lift our voice, every time we cry unto him, he's into us because he loves us. He's about us, and we got to be about him. We got to love him. We got to seek him. We got to serve him. We got to grow. We got to grow. We got to grow in the Lord and in our love with him. It's true. Somebody say it's true. It takes courage to go through life. It's true. And more courage than we possess on our own. Thankfully, we don't have to face life by ourselves.
Right.
Now, I'm not trying to bring up the past, but I'd like us to remember the last 2.5-3 years. Could you imagine if God didn't love us, what that could have looked like? Could you imagine if God wasn't for us, what that could have looked like? Real talk. Could you imagine if God forsook us? Oh, yeah. Because we know we've seen some people forsake some things. Right? We've seen their restoration. But could you imagine? It's true. Going through what we went through without the Lord. Right? When you were alone, nobody can go see you. Not because they didn't want to, because they couldn't. Could you imagine? Thankfully, we're never alone. He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't abandon us because he loves us. Oh, yeah. 1 Samuel 12 and 22 says, "For the Lord will not forsake his people." Oh, yeah. I remember reading Psalm 100. It says we are his people. Oh, yeah. 1 Peter 2 and 9 tells us what kind of people we are. A chosen, peculiar, royal, called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, yeah. For the Lord has not forsaken his people for his great name's sake, because it had pleased the Lord to make you his people. Now, I know every family's got it. You got somebody in your family, you're like, man, I wish their last name was different. I wish they weren't related to me. You know, they're part of the family, but, you know, they're not really part of the, they married into the family. You know, they're kind of, we kind of, their invitation gets lost all the time. It's just kind of one of those, you know, when they come into town, we go out of town kind of relationship. But we are his people. Oh, yeah. We are his people because he loves us. And because he's for you and he's with you and he's not going to forsake you. He'll never forsake us. He won't turn his back on us. He's with us. Doesn't mean that you can sin and gives you a license to sin. No, it means that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. He doesn't love sin. He loves the sinner. He doesn't tolerate sin. He loves the sinner. He forgives the sinner of the sins that they committed. And if you're here this morning, this is not a message to say that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is. But it is also a message that we need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he loves you and he's with you. He wants to be for you and he wants you to serve him. It's true. Tell your neighbor it's true. Es verdad. Deuteronomy 31 and 6 says, "Be strong and of good courage. For the Lord thy God, he'll never fail nor forsake you." Isn't that awesome? It's amazing. You know that the God that we serve, not only is he aware of every detail of your situation, there's not a bird in the sky that falls to the ground that he's not aware of. Right? He holds you up, props you up. Psalmist says, "When my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Oh, man.
Yeah.
Why? Because he loves you.
Yeah.
Because Brother Mercy, come help Pastor. Come help Pastor. Because he loves you. Yeah. Mercy's following me. It's following me. Mercy's following me. Surely goodness and mercy. Surely good. Sister, Michelle, go out, come help Pastor. Just surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. You know where I go? Goodness and mercy. Why? Because he loves us. Yeah, it's love. He loves us. Wherever I go, goodness and mercy shall follow. Because he loves us. Hey, that's love. It's not just thank you, ladies and gentlemen, lady and gentlemen. It's not just words. It's true. Some of you are here today because of the mercies of God. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. It is his mercies are new every morning. It's true. Somebody give God a praise. Somebody give God a thanks because of his mercies this morning. You imagine coming to church, the 11 o'clock hour, pastor meeting you at the door and say, hey, I just wanted you to know there's no more mercy today. Because Brother Bonham came to the 9 o'clock and he used it all up. Be like, really? I got all this day to go? Lord doesn't do that with us. Oh. He says, I got enough for Brother Bonham and I got enough for Pastor. I got enough for extra for Brother Parra. I definitely got some for Brother Carlos Bautista. I got plenty of mercy and love and forgiveness. It doesn't run out. It doesn't dry up. Come on, somebody. You may be a first-time guest here today. You may be a prodigal here today. You may be backslidden on a chair today. You may be down and out, or you may be sky high on the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, he loves you. He's for you. He's with you. He won't abandon you. He won't forsake you. Why? Because he loves you. It's true. He loves you this morning. And when he loves you, he'll take care of you. Oh, yeah. You take care of your kids. Oh, yeah. You take care of your kids. And I know you definitely take care of your grandkids. I've seen some of you. Yeah. You can't, you just, I know, you got grandkids money. I know you take care of them. Supersize, double, whatever. You make whatever he wants, whatever she wants. God will supply all your need. All your need, not your wants, your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So he guides you, he'll provide. Where there's vision, there'll be provision. God will take care of his people. He always has, he always will, because he loves us. He doesn't abandon us, he doesn't forsake us. He's not a man that he lies. He's acquainted with all of our ways, and he still loves us. Somebody give God a praise as the musicians come. Give God a praise this morning. When we see no way, he makes a way. When we don't understand the way, he is the way. Oh, yeah. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, some people are always late. They're always late. That's just how they are. They're late. It's rude. It's disrespectful sometimes. Because sometimes you're fashionably late. You look good coming in and better going out, right? And I say that with love in a kind Christian way. I say that. But sometimes you can't help it. It's just life. It is what it is. I'd rather you come to church late than not come at all. And I mean, sincerely. But God's never late because he's always on time. His time is his time. And when he gets there or when he does what he does, it's right, right? In the scripture, hey, we're out of wine. Okay, well. Not my problem. Hey, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Okay, well, put water in these jugs. Okay, well, turns water into wine. Hey, save the best for last. Can I tell you, God has saved the best for last. This end time harvest could have happened at any time in history. But he saved the best for last. He said the best for last. He saved us. He called us for a holy calling. Why? Because there's people that are looking for a real thing. And we are representatives of a real love from a real God with people with real issues that had real forgiveness, that had real repentance, got refilled, got renewed, got baptized. baptized and are living a holy and a separate life under God. We are not conforming to this world, but we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind, which is our reasonable service. Oh, saints of God, this morning, I've come to tell you, God loves you. He's with you, and he's not going to forsake. If you believe that this morning, would you lift your hands? Would you lift your voices unto the Lord this morning?